Good evening, folks. A warm word of welcome once again to the House of the Lord this evening for a midweek prayer meeting. And as you know, it is taking the form of a deputation meeting this evening. And we are thankful that you're here with us. And we do pray that the Lord will bless us, the Lord will meet with us. And even as his servant comes very shortly just to speak to us, that he will know the infilling and the blessing of the Lord upon him. We're going to listen to one hymn just to start with. And it is a hymn, "I Have Only One Life on This Earth." Let's stand for prayer, please, at this stage. And we'll look to the Lord once again for his blessing this evening. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we come humbly and reverently before thee this evening. And we do come with praise and adoration and thanksgiving in our hearts. We do rejoice, O God, afresh that we are coming before the great King of heaven and of earth. We do rejoice this night that we are accepted. We do rejoice this night that we're not coming simply to some other prince or duke, but we are coming to the great King of Kings. And we thank thee that this night that we have even that audience with thee in and through our Saviour Jesus Christ. We do confess, O God, that we have no right and we have no worth in and of ourselves. But we plead the righteousness of Christ this night. We plead his worthiness even before thee afresh as our standing in him. And O God, we come to thee and we do want to give thee thanks and praise even for another day and for the blessings of this day that thou hast afforded to us. We thank thee even for the beautiful day, Lord, in that measure even of blessing in that. And Lord, even for the safety and travel for each one and that health and strength to each one as they've been up and about. Lord, we just thank thee as well for bringing thy servant here in safety this night. We thank Thee, O God, for watching over him, and Lord, for being unto him all that he has needed this day. And O God, even now as he is with us this evening, we pray that Thou wilt then fill him with the Spirit of God. We pray as he will come and even open up Thy word to us, as he will even speak from that word, and then as he will bring his report of how his work is continuing even for the Lord. We thank Thee for the life that Thou has even blessed him in return that he has even given on to the Lord. We thank Thee, O God, for saving him and for calling him into the work. And O God, we do rejoice that Thy hand has been upon him even till this very hour. Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt even encourage us, Thy people, as we listen to Your brother, that we will know even that sense of Thy nearness, and we will rejoice in what the Lord has done and what the Lord is continuing to do. Lord, we pray for each one that is here, that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt encourage them, O God, and that we will leave here rejoicing this night that the Lord is at work in our land, even amongst the boys and girls. Lord, we think of how much even our brother's work has changed. And yet, O God, he is still the gospel to proclaim, and we thank Thee that he has been able to do that. Lord, we do pray that Thou will continue to give him wisdom, to give him guidance. Lord, to bless him and to bless his wife and his family. Lord, to undertake for each and for every one of them. Lord, bless those that are listening online as well. We're mindful of them. We pray that Thou will be near to them and bless them. Lord, undertake for their circumstances. And Lord, meet each and every one at the very point of their need. Lord, bless us this evening. Glorify Thy Son in everything that is done and said. For it is His work that we're involved in. It is His church. He is the keen and sole head of it. And we seek to praise Him. And we seek to glorify Him. And we seek to glory in Him. O God, enable us to do this night. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I said, it is good to see each and every one that has gathered out this evening. And a warm word of welcome as well to those that are online. Wherever you're joining us from, may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord even encourage you as our brother is going to come now. We are delighted to have Mr. Robert McConnell. He is a member of he works under our mission board, a member of our Cumber congregation. He's probably no stranger to us here. It's the first time since I've come to this church that he's been. But I've known him now for a number of years. During my time in college, he was a great encouragement to me. Also had the privilege of doing 4 years of children's camp with him. And those were interesting and fun times, shall we say. Only had to share a room with him once. He's an interesting character to share a room with. He came with a big pair of ear defenders, and that's how he slept, so he could get his sleep, even though the children would be up at night. There was only one time he had to get up. The children were so loud, he could even hear them through his ear defenders, and it woke him. But as I said, it's a blessing to have him with us once again. It's always a blessing to be in his company. Brother, you're welcome, and even now as you come, may the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Will I not add anything to the comments made? We'll let them lie, and we'll just continue on. It's really lovely to be with you. I want to first of all thank your minister and the session here for inviting us along. It's really great to be able to come back again and renew fellowship with you. The last couple of occasions we've been with you, we've always seemed to have had a booking in the winter time. This is the first time we've been able to come along the road and admire all the scenery, although we were very tentative in the last few miles. We were trying to keep our eye on the road and see the scenery. But it's lovely to be here with you, and it's great to be able to renew fellowship. And the deputation meeting tonight will be focusing in really on the events of the last 15 months. Usually deputation meetings are on a three-yearly cycle, and you usually give a report over that period. But we want to, because of our time constraints, just look at this very short window, the last 15 months, because an awful lot has happened, as you know and as I know, in that period of time. We want to share a couple of thoughts from God's Word with you tonight. And then what we will do is we'll go straight into the bones of the report. And then we'll show this little PowerPoint at the very end. And that'll maybe encourage you to stay to the end and to stay with us and to watch this little PowerPoint. You know, whenever somebody does deputation meetings, sometimes the language that has to be used, we're not very comfortable with. There's an awful lot of I this and me that and I the other. And I would hope very quickly tonight that you'll be able to get past that. And if you see anything tonight of eternal value, anything of the furtherance of the gospel, take it from me, it's all of the Lord. We're here tonight to give a report on what the Lord is doing. Not what we are doing, or what we have done, or what we're capable of. It's a report about what the Lord is doing amongst our boys and girls. And I would hope tonight, as you hear the report, as you see what's going on, you'll be more informed about the work, and you'll be more pointed in your prayers for the work. But most of all, you'll go out tonight rejoicing in the fact that despite all the difficulties we've had to face, the Lord is still in control. Nothing over this last while has been a surprise to him. Nothing has taken him unawares, and that he is continuing to work and to save and to move amongst our boys and girls in the province and even wider afield. Perhaps we could start by looking at a couple of verses in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to just read a few short verses near the end of the passage, and then we'll have a few thoughts on them. We're not here to preach. I leave that to those who are more capable. Whenever I went through Bible college, there were several occasions I thought I was going to get my money back, because all they were able to produce was a melodian rather than a theologian. But of course, the old melodian gets the odd good note as well. And we trust tonight that as we consider God's word, that I'll just be a mouthpiece, and that the Lord will speak to our hearts, and the Lord will have a word for us, and the Lord will touch our hearts, deal with us, and draw us even closer unto himself. 2 Kings chapter 4. We want to break into the chapter near the very end, starting at verse 38, and we'll just read three verses. 2 Kings 4, verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot, and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O, thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. We'll just end our reading there at the end of verse 41. And very, very briefly, we don't need to stand for this. Just be a brief word of prayer, asking for the Lord's help. Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer. I covet your prayers for the meeting. I would far rather this room be filled with boys and girls, so that I could tell you to sit up straight and fold your arms. No more running in and out until the end of the meeting. But we'll just have to imagine what you were like when you were young. And of course, for all of us here, that wouldn't take a great lot of imagination. We're not that far down the line, any of us. So let's just seek the Lord and have a wee word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just settle our hearts in thy presence. There has been a busyness leading up to the meeting that would cause us to come right into thy presence lightly and glibly, and forgetting who we are and whom we seek. But, O Lord, just from this moment, I ask for help from on high. I pray for the power of the Holy Ghost, words from thee. May all that is of the flesh be set aside, for it will bring nothing but disruption to the meeting. And we long for thy presence. Bless thy people this night. Bless thy servant as he ministers here. And undertake for us, for we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. You know, much of the food that we eat today, well, the truth be told, is not really that good for us. The old statistics, if you could take anything out of statistics, they reveal that by the time a child is 3 years of age, they readily recognize that big yellow M on the plastic boarding along the road. And I'm sure you know what that big M is as well. And then there's a crying match again for a Happy Meal. And they're not happy till they get the Happy Meal. And they recognize it so readily. But as far as food and maybe even the soft drinks that we would partake of, many of them are not good for us. Sometimes the soft cans of cola that we would drink, we know are full of sugar, and yet we buy them. We know they're not that good for us, and yet we partake of them. But maybe you didn't know this. However, because of the lack of wholesome ingredients in many of those soft drinks, the actual can itself is the most expensive part of the production. We can't talk about foods that are not really good for us without giving the chocolate bars a little touch as well. You know, just slipping in behind Switzerland and Germany, the United Kingdom per head of capita, we are the third biggest consumers of chocolate in the whole world, with each one of us eating a stone of it every single year. So I'm not the only one at it. And I know for a definite fact tonight, we have a wee piano in the back room, and there's about half a stone of chocolate still sitting there in the form of Easter eggs, and I'm not allowed to touch them. And so there we have it. But you know, diabetes and heart attack and stroke and a string of other food-related illnesses have caused those who are in authority over us to speak out, to cause the nation to sit up and to do something about their eating habits. Those who are in high authority over us are pointing us and prodding us to have better nutrition, a balanced diet, and to learn to know how to eat and to exercise properly for our overall health and well-being. However, when it comes to the spiritual realm, making sure that each of us are fed on the finest of the wheat, making sure that the condition of the sin-sick heart is not only met but dealt with, suddenly, from the high echelons, there's silence. There's no lobbying. There's no effort. There's no laws being directed in this direction. And suddenly, very few seem interested. And God's precious word, the very bread of life, is being cast aside for that which is harmful and poisonous. And this is the dilemma that we face right now today. In fact, we face it more and more with each new generation of boys and girls coming up, because they're being fed on the very content that we read of here in this part in 2 Kings. We're told here in this passage that wild gourds from the field have been brought in to spoil the recipe. The field in this particular passage can be seen as a picture of the world. Of course, we find that elsewhere in the Bible. You go to the New Testament and you read of a man who went out to sow. And he went into the field. A picture of this world. And here too, we can apply that to this passage. The field that the young man headed out into was the world. And let me tell you tonight, all of our young people are heading out into the world. From we teach our little one how to walk, let me tell you tonight, they begin to walk away from us into independence, into this world. And they need to be prepared for it and made ready for it. It's very evident that the young man in this story here was not prepared for the field that he went into, not prepared for the world he was facing. Because whenever he went out into it, the first thing that he discovered were these wild gourds. Now, these wild gourds can be seen as a picture of all the entertainments and all the attractions and all the world can offer to take us away from the Lord. You will read in the passage that this young man didn't find just one or two. He was able to take his lap full. He could have gone back again and again and again and again, because there's no end of these wild gourds, and there's no end of entertainments and attractions and distractions and sinful activities for our young people as they go into the world to take to themselves. And of course, very often they bring it back to the home place, and it has an effect upon the home place. Even within Christian homes, a young one going out and maybe getting involved in drink, that has an effect on the home front. The parents are heartbroken. The young person maybe comes in drunk. And all these things are not to the benefit of anybody. And we're told in this scripture that what happened here quickly took away from all that was wholesome and all that was good and all that was proper and all that was nutritious in this pot. And just as it was for the sons of the prophets those years ago, death is in the pot for our children today. We thank God that in Elisha's day there was a remedy. That remedy is still as effective today. It doesn't change. In Elisha's day, the remedy was the meal. And it's the only remedy. And so it still is today. This meal can be seen in one of two ways. But these one of two ways are really all one and the same way. And what I mean by that is very simply this, before we get into riddles and give you a sore head. The meal can be seen as the Word of God, and it can also be seen as the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, the two are the same in one. And for our illustration tonight, we want to look at this meal as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meal, of course, is that substance that's taken and ground down into flour. And the flour then is taken and kneaded into a dough and placed into a fiery oven, only to re-immerse as bread. And so was it not with the Saviour? Upon the cross, was he not ground between the millstones of God's wrath? I'm sure you've often heard that said. I've repeated that line tonight because I have heard it. I feel it to be a very good line. But I really don't understand it. I have no depths of knowledge to explain it. That God would take his only begotten Son, spotless, pure, sinless, well-beloved, and destroy him, and to make him sin for you and me, and to make him bear that penalty, and punish him, and grind him, harm him, and even forsake him. God has never done that to you and me. He has done it to his Son. Did he not pass through the fires? Did he not suffer so much for us? Truly he was the bread of life. Sweeter smelling by far than anything that would ever come out of a baker's oven. Indeed, that sacrifice, we're told in God's word, is sweeter smelling, was a sweet savour in the nostril of our God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only remedy for all the trouble and all the sin that men and women and boys and girls find themselves in. This is nothing new to you tonight, nothing new to me. But I have to tell you, this is why we go around the schools. This is why we have our meetings. This is why we have our Sunday school. This is why we evangelize boys and girls. This is why we have our holiday Bible clubs. This is why we're now doing the online footage and filming. We are simply casting the meal into the pot. We're simply presenting Christ in whatever way we can, as best we can. Why? Because he alone can rid them of the poison and filth of the sin they find themselves in. He alone, as the last line of our reading says, can bring them out of harm's way. The last line, the last five or six words, wonderful words, there was no harm in the pot when the meal was applied. And he alone takes away the threat of the death that hangs over our boys and girls. Indeed, in fact, anyone who is outside yet of Christ's salvation this very day. And so just with those few thoughts in mind, I want to turn your minds now to the work that we're involved in. I want to give you a short report of what has been happening over really the last 15 months or so. We've had the privilege of being engaged in children's work for a very, very long period of time as we worked out in the secular field. The Lord then called us into full-time service. That call came many, many years after the surrender. What do I mean by that? Well, as a young man in my teenage years, like many of you here, we often would go down at Easter time to the great rallies and the martyrs. And on those occasions, there was always the missionary rally on the Saturday evening. And at one of those missionary rallies, the Lord really spoke to my heart as a young man about surrendering my all to him. And the Lord enabled me to say, Lord, well, if you want me, then I present myself willing to serve thee in whatever way I can. And we did as best we could. I can remember on that particular night, we were all escorted out through a side door in the Martyrs and up some stairs. I'd never been before up around them dark avenues. And we brought into this room. I thought actually we were going to get our passports and we'd be in Africa in the morning. That's just sincerity and maybe naivety. But we got great counsel. We were told, young men and young women, you have individually, personally, made yourself available and willing to serve the Lord. Here's how you started. Go back to your own local churches. Get to the prayer meetings. Be involved in the work there. And the Lord will take it from there. Great counsel. That's what we did. And we were in our teenage years. And right through all those early 20s, early 30s, we just did that. But then the Lord drew that promise back in my late 30s. And we went along then to Bible college. We went into full-time service. I was sitting in Bible college with young men in their early 20s, and they were whizzing through all the work. Sometimes there'd be a sheet of paper, and they would have it memorized in 2 seconds. I'd be thinking, what did I do with that bit of paper? But the Lord saw us through, and we got through. And we have been engaged really for the last 10 years under the mission board on a full-time capacity. The work can be very easily divided up into two parts. There's the work that we do within the church and the work that we do away from the church environment. The work within the church is a very rewarding part of this calling. Because as we go around our different congregations, and every congregation without exclusion, whenever we go along to maybe do a Children's Day service or do a mission or a holiday Bible club or do a children's meeting or whatever it is we're asked to do, it's a great privilege to go alongside and work with those of like precious faith, fellow labourers who have a love for the boys and girls. And I would know in this congregation it's exactly the same. There are those who are always praying for the boys and girls. There are those who have a heart for the children. There are those who are here to serve, and when it comes to the children's meeting, comes to the youth work, comes to the Sunday school. There are those who have given decades of service as Sunday school teachers. And we just love to work alongside you folk whenever these occasions arise. We learn an awful lot and we seek to try and be a blessing to your work as well. And that work would really be tied into Sunday schools, children's meetings, children's day services, youth fellowship meetings, camps, weekends away, holiday Bible club, little tent missions out and about, doing doors, prize-giving nights, parents' nights, the whole lot. And you know, all of that work is a big part of the work in individual congregations. We need to twig onto that. You know, my grandfather was a farmer, but he wasn't just any sort of farmer. He was a sheep farmer. And he wasn't just any sort of sheep farmer. This is getting very tongue-tying. But he worked with mountain sheep. And you know, whenever those sheep were wild, wild animals, just completely wild. But it came a certain time when he wanted them down off the mountain. When he wanted them in, he never bothered with the sheep. He just went out for the lambs. And when he brought the lambs in, the rest of the flock weren't long following. And if you can get the boys and girls in, you will get the parents in. A little child shall lead them. I have evidenced that time and time and time again. And it's a real blessing. But a big part of the work that we also do is away from the church. The work that we would do in the little community centres, in the halls, here and there, in the schools, perhaps after school activity, the school assemblies, and even sometimes RE classes within the school environment. Now that could only be of the Lord, because I spent the first 16 years of my life trying to get out of school, and suddenly I was back in to be the teacher, to do the RE. And what a blessing that was. But you know, the strange thing about it is, the work that's done away from the church environment, even though we're home missionaries, at times can be a very lonely work. And that sounds strange, because maybe only half an hour or 20 minutes or whatever beforehand I was saying goodbye to my family, heading down the road to some school. But going into that environment, not everybody is for you. And it's very tangible. There are those, of course, and we're thankful for, who are very welcoming and very supportive. And there are those of like precious faith who, as best they can, will do all to encourage a Christian ethos within the state school environment. But that's very fast disappearing. And very often we do feel in isolation. We just feel that we're being put up with. And it can be difficult. But the Lord undertakes. And we're so thankful for that. It's been a real privilege to be able to go into the schools in such a big way. You know, all this work, especially that work within the schools, was bringing us every year into contact with upwards of about 15,000 boys and girls. We don't say these things to brag or to blow, but we say them simply to let you see the scope and the scale of the work. I did a little quick tally. My former work out in secular employment was very numbers orientated, and so I've always had a great interest in numbers. And I did a little quick tally, and the work that I'm involved in with these 15,000 or so children really is only about 5% of all the schools that I could potentially reach. 95% I'm not reaching. I'm so glad that there are others in the work who are reaching, and many of our ministers are so willing to go into the schools and are reaching. But with all that taken into account, we're really only scratching the surface. There are 800 primary schools in Northern Ireland alone, and we're getting into very few of them. Many children are slipping through the net. But for those who we're able to have in front of us, it's been a real thrill, because many, many years, if I go way back to the first year, I can look at a little row of P1 children. Early September, they've just started school. Very dangerous time for somebody public speaking in an assembly with a row of P1 children. You've never sat any length of time. You need to watch them. They'll take the whole shoes and socks and everything off you. But you know, there they are sitting. And across that first term, that first year, you're maybe getting to speak to them 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 times. The following year, second year, they're moved into P2, you get another go. P3, and right through to their P7, you're getting 7 years where you're presenting the gospel year in, year out, 4, 5, 6 times a year. Just a simple message. What an opportunity. What a privilege. For many, many of these children have never heard their need of the Savior. Know nothing of the gospel. And so we covet your prayers that as we go in, that we will be able to break down the bread of life simply so that they can understand. But of course it all stopped. This time last year just stopped. Till end of March, just stopped. When the lockdown was announced and imposed upon us. From early March I was beginning to get inklings that something was up. Not that I'm some kind of super person who can see into the future. But I was beginning to get phone calls from schools who were preempting what they could see was happening. And they were beginning to ring me and say, listen, you have a booking this month. We'll just have to hold fire on that. In fact, I see you have a booking there the next term. We'll just hold on. We'll not do anything now to the end of June. We'll see what happens for next year in September. We'll just hold fire. And those calls began to come more frequently and more regularly. And we began to cross out bookings in our diary. Very, very soon, with the lockdown coming so heavily upon us, those little axes we then had to apply to the church work. At that particular time, I had 6 bookings at the tail end of March to do prize giving nights in various places. Invites had been given out. Prizes had been bought for children. Little trophies had been engraved. Parents were looking forward to coming. It was an opportunity to share the gospel with the children and their wider families. And there were always wonderful meetings to have. All cancelled. It moved on then into the months of May and June when our Children's Day service, all cancelled. Our holiday Bible clubs with 7, 8, 9 of those camps, weekends away, all cancelled. All stopped. And when I look back over that particular period from March through to about the end of August, I had a little quick count, same numbers again, counting again. And there were about 100 bookings that I had cancelled. These were not 100 bookings that where I would stand in front of maybe 10 or 15 children. On some occasions we would be standing in front of maybe 600 boys and girls in any given morning in some of the schools in North Down and in Belfast and Lisburn that are so big. That's the number that you're being presented with. And all these bookings were just cancelled one after the other. And why did that happen? Tonight, for me to try and throw some light on all of that, I would make things darker, wouldn't I? Well, who am I to know? We just had to leave it with the Lord. I think perhaps looking back, maybe to try and give some kind of reasoning behind it in my own mind, for a long, long time in the work, we all really are looking that way. You're looking that way at the work at Six Mile Cross. Oh, yes, you'll expand it a little bit, but that's where you're looking. All over here and all over there and there, well, that's where you're looking. And that's how it was for me. I was looking at schools in North Down and Belfast, Arch Peninsula, Lisburn. That was that area around me. We went a bit further afield when we were asked to go, but that was really there. Over here and over here and over there, far and yonder. We knew it was needy works, but we were focusing on that. And the Lord, as only the Lord can do, opened that out to that, out to that. Because the work that we now do is based on the World Wide Web. You know, thinking about it, up until last March, now, as far as I'm aware, I could be wrong on this, I don't think our denomination did any internet work whatsoever for boys and girls. I know that there's a little bit of work done in sermon audio and the distribution of CDs and tapes. Tapes, we're going back a bit, aren't we? And DVDs. Caught on there, wasn't it? This fella never flinched, he let me off. And you know what? I don't believe that we did anything that way orientated for boys and girls. There was a very special meeting held at the tail end of March. It was a Zoom meeting. It was the very first Zoom meeting I was ever at. If any of you had to have Zoom meetings, they're not that super, sure they're not really. Where I live, you know, if there's too many seagulls go flying over the roof, I get the internet gets cut off anyway, so we need to watch out. Don't be throwing bread out if I'm on a Zoom meeting. But there was a very special Zoom meeting held at the tail end of March. It was organised by a man called Alistair Hamilton. Many of you may know Alistair. He's a member of the Ballymena Church. He's also very heavily involved in many aspects of the work in the denomination. And he's also involved very much in the mission board. And he held a Zoom meeting along with Joyce Walsh, Christina Logan, a girl called Catherine Keane, who is his daughter, and another fellow called Glenn Hamilton. He is a son. He's also a student in our college. And at that Zoom meeting, the main priority was, what can we do in lockdown to continue on providing the message of the gospel for boys and girls? How can we continue evangelizing, in other words? Much discussion was had. And out of that a Zoom meeting, on Friday the 27th of March, the very first of our little Bible corners was aired on YouTube and on Facebook. The second one was then aired on the 29th, two days later. And we ran then consecutively Fridays and Sundays for quite a long period of time. The little program was called Bible Corner. We went under the name of FPC Kids. The lockdowns were so stringent at that time that we actually had to do our own filming at home, which was quite difficult. Poor Christina, I think she did hers out of her bedroom. I did mine out of a little back room. Nearly every stick of furniture had to be taken out of the room to get the distance for the camera. And then, of course, I all had to go back in again because it was lying about every other room. It was difficult in those early days because none of us were au fait with, well, certainly not me anyway, maybe some of the others, but weren't au fait with setting up and filming and then sending huge volumes of data through the internet to those who needed it. I'm okay to send a wee email and a few wee attachments, but this was all a different world. And we had to learn so many things and audio and all the rest of it. But the Lord undertook. And we were able to, from that time, produce over 60 Bible corners. For those of you perhaps who don't have the internet or not into this Facebook and stuff, I don't blame you. It's hard work at times. And I had to be dragged screaming and kicking into that world as well. But for those of you who maybe haven't seen any of this, basically we're filming and producing a children's meeting. We try to do an allotment of about 30 minutes, which includes choruses, a memory verse, a Bible story, and closing prayer, and a little bit of a worksheet for the children to download. Not easy to do. Watch many of the programs that our brother does, and it's not easy to do to stand there in front of a camera because you do not have the interaction. Children are very interactive in meetings. Sometimes they're just active, but they're generally interactive. And they say it as it is. And if you're not getting on fast enough and quick enough through a meeting, they will give you the biggest yawn ever, or the big, "Are we going home yet?" so that everybody will hear it. Or they'll be sitting and drinking in every word, and you dare not repeat that message for several years because they'll come back and say, you spoke that the last time. For you and I, we hardly remember what happened last week. And that's the way we are. But it's very, very difficult, and we really struggle. We still struggle with it because we're not actors and we're not entertainers and we're not doing it for entertainment value, as it is the case with your own minister. We're doing it here as a means to try and hold on to our children and to present the gospel to those who are willing to let their children watch. The Lord has been very good to us. As I say, we've been able to do upwards of 60 broadcasts so far. And the wonderful thing about it is this: now they're done and now they're up. They're up for good. And you can click in at any stage, at any time, and watch them. And it's tremendous. And the scope and the width and the comeback that we've had has been really wonderful. Because the Lord has taken what's happened here and he's moved it out to here and here and here. We also at that time decided to do a little small segment mid-afternoon on a Wednesday. There were such difficult times. You can recall yourself, people were just didn't know what was going on, and we were taking everything we were told, and there was an awful lot of fear, and I think there's a lot of questions now, more so than fear, which is quite right to have. But at that time, we did a Friday, we did a Sunday, and we decided to do a little 5-minute segment on a Wednesday. And for some strange reason, I don't really think, now just saying that, it really wasn't strange. A lot of them were done outside, but the strange reason really was the fact that, if you can recall, this time last year, the weather was really super for about 6 weeks. And so these little 5-minute segments were done outside. And I can remember the very first one I did outside, and it really should have taken maybe 10 minutes tops, and then getting it all prepared and sent off. Shouldn't have taken too long, but it took all morning. And what happened was this: we went out into the garden, and my daughter Esther, she very kindly was my cameraman for most of the time. Sometimes my wife stepped in, my daughter had to work, but she has a super duper iPhone. And you know, for years I used to whinge and complain at her, "Look at that old phone, well up a waste, and look, you're wanting to upgrade it, sure, what you've got, there's not a thing wrong with, look at my phone, 80 quid, sure, that's great." Of course, it was nowhere near as good. I can remember one night leaving my phone by accident on the prize-giving table for the children's meeting. Nobody took it. They took all the plasticine and colouring in pencils and left my phone there. But she had this super phone, and the quality of the picture and the sound was just really, really good. And I had to take back all what I said, neat humble pie. But we did this little outside broadcast. And I had just started, and there's this thud, 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 thud. I must stop because that was being picked up. Waited a minute, all quiet. Away we went again. Hadn't started. Thud, 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 thud. Just as bad as ever. And do you know what had happened? Some of the neighbours across the way, behind the house, they had been put on furlough. And down where I live, it's quite stormy and gaily throughout the winter, and there's a lot of fences blew over. And this fella, being on furlough, had a fence all blew down, and he decided that was the morning he was going to fix the fence. So I shot round as quick as lightning. I said, "You're not going on your tea break or anything soon?" "Oh," I said, "I am." I said, "Well, have a couple of extra biscuits, because we're just filming a wee thing." And away I went to get this filament finished. And I came back round again, and I hadn't started 2 minutes, and our neighbour, he's Jack Russell's, and whenever, now I don't think they're Free Presbyterians, but whenever they kick off, they really go at it. In fact, there's one of them's got a bit of his ear missing, and it was chumped through the cage by its brother, that's the other dog, when they were separated. But then they get at it, they go hammer and tongs. So I up again round to the neighbour. I said, "John, you're not taking the dogs out for a bit of a walk today, are you?" He says, "I will." And away he went with the dogs. So back round I came to do this film, get it finished, and we only started. an ice cream van. I couldn't believe it. I said to my daughter, what kind of lockdown is this? But we had to let that one slide because he was actually going out giving, doing groceries for folks who were afraid to go out. But these are the things we had to face. The Lord's seen us through it. But we continued our recording, and coming into the summertime, we decided we'd need to do something by way of Holiday Bible Club. And you might have seen some of that stuff. We were able to do two Holiday Bible Clubs. We did another one there at Christmas, and then we did another one at Easter time. And all of this work in front of the camera is one thing. But we've been very, very privileged with the people behind the camera. Because the Lord undertook, and a lot of the problems we had were smoothed out. Because in the early days, we were on our own. We couldn't come together. And we were trying to learn about Facebook and Google Drive and Dropbox and WeTransfer and audio and filming and compatibility, copyright. And it was just hard work. But the Lord brought the right people and undertook for us. That girl, Catherine Cain, who I was telling you about, Catherine has her own business. And her own business is wedding videos. But as you know and as I know, during that heavy lockdown, her business, it just ceased. You know something? I never heard her once ever complain about that. She has her bills to pay like everybody else. And she has, no doubt, her worries like everybody else. Never heard it once. Always a smile. Willing to step straight from that into helping us. She does all the filming work now and all the audio and all the editing. And it's really top quality. Her brother Glenn, again in the background, sorting out all the setting up Facebook pages and all the logos and copyrights and just making sure everything's done as it should be professionally and well. So much to thank the Lord for, to have these people willing to give up their time. But we felt in our hearts we could go a little bit further. And we began to think again about the schools. What about the schools? And we knew that schools weren't able to have invited guests, speakers along. We knew the schools couldn't even meet together as a group to have an assembly. But we did hear of schools having little classroom assemblies. And so we decided as a team that we would put together about 20 little videos on various things. They were very short because they needed just to be an assembly length. There was a welcome, an opening chorus that we would put up, a lesson or a Bible story, closing thought and prayer. And we put that playlist up. There was about 20 on it. And we then, Christina, Joyce and myself, decided to contact all the schools that we had been in previous to this. It would be upwards of maybe 100 schools. And we contacted all those schools and said, listen, we're going to send you an email. There's a little link on it. You just happen to press the link and you will be able to use any of these little videos for your classroom assemblies. To make it really easy for you, we divided them into Key Stage 1 and Key Stage 2. And we sent all those emails off. And the response that came back was really encouraging. In fact, some of the schools actually came to us and said, listen, would you actually do subject matter on this particular thing and do something on this particular item? And they were giving us things to prepare. And we would then prepare them and send them to them. And of course, they're accessible for everybody, not just that particular school, but they were actually asking for specific things. What an encouragement. We felt then that we could maybe try and widen that out a little bit, and we decided, well, we could take on a more major project, and we decided to contact every single primary school in Northern Ireland. We divided the regions up among ourselves, Joyce, Christina and myself. We did it in a way that after lockdown, if there was opportunity that would arise, that in my particular area, a school that I'm not in at the minute, having seen the videos, we might more easily get in to do an assembly in the future. And this is how we planned it out. And so we did. We contacted all 800 schools. Again, we got a very, very good feedback. And so much so that we decided we've got to take this further. So the World Wide Web, we're moving from this, you see, to this. And we decided to contact all our brethren in the churches in England. Our brother Baker in London, Brother Smith in Wales, and so on and so forth. And no doubt they would have had schools in their areas that their children would go to, and or maybe they would be connected to, or some of their congregation would be connected to, and they would have that familiarity with those schools. And we sent them the links so that they could promote the links from themselves to the schools. And again, another great opening. We felt that we could open that again a little bit wider. And so, and several years ago, I had the opportunity of doing 2 weeks of mission in the Isle of Man. And at that time, I got into some schools. And so we decided we'll contact every primary school in the Isle of Man. We sent out another 33 emails to every primary school in the Isle of Man. And it just widens out further and further and further. At the minute, I've been able to access a large, large number of head teachers, email addresses, and contact details of many, many schools in England. And we're just working our way through that. In fact, one day, a notification came up on my computer saying, "You have reached your limit of emailing for today." I've never seen that before. I don't know how many I sent it, but it must have been into 500-600. And I was offered a business plan, but I thought, I'll just leave it till tomorrow and we'll start up again. And this is what we're doing at the minute. Pray for all these efforts. Was it worth it all? Yes, it was. Problems? Yes, we had. But the Lord, in many ways, sorted out those problems for us as we sought Him. We now have a studio. The Cumber Church very kindly gave us a room, and we've got proper lighting. We've got a green screen, and you're probably aware of what a green screen is. That's what your weatherman will stand in front of, showing us where all the sunshine is in Northern Ireland. And we've got all the technical team, and the work goes on. We do ask that you pray for it. We do know that there is that hope that we will have the freedoms that we do need to have with regards to allowing our children back into services and Sunday schools and having our meetings open again. We're looking forward to those days. But we want to continue on with this online work. It's been very profitable. There's been little nucleuses of work, God's people here and there, far and yonder, who just don't have Sunday schools over in the mainland. I think of a little family in Essex, and they watch in week by week faithfully because they don't have a Sunday school. They don't have somewhere local, and this is a lifeline to them. There are other people who contacted me, and you don't think about these things until people do contact you. And I had a lovely contact made to me with regards to a young person in their mid-20s, maybe 30s, but they have severe learning difficulties. And the mother sent me a little message saying that her daughter really, really enjoys watching the little Bible corners. She's only been out for 12 hours in the last year. What a tragedy. Because of her vulnerability and her susceptibility and her underlying conditions. And she just loves these programs. I think Auntie Christine is her favourite, by the way. Not me. But isn't that a wonderful thing? You don't think of these things, but pray on. The Lord has put a seal of approval on these efforts. The very first airing that went out, we heard of a little one in the Bangor area who came and trusted in the Saviour. The Lord put a seal of approval upon the work. On the second we showed a little video, a little program, a little one from the Analong area trusted in the Lord. And no doubt there are many others. And I've had some wonderful contacts made. In fact, we still continue with those contacts to this very day. Through our holiday Bible clubs, we were able to contact new people who just wanted to register with us. People who are in the wider area. We are in Cumber, and there was in Ballygowan and Lisbane and Moneyrae and in Newtownards, just that wider area. And there were people who wanted to be part of that little holiday Bible club, wanted to register. We got their details, we kept in touch, and to this very day, this is Wednesday, even today, we were out today, slipping through their door, a little publication that we do every week for the children, along with a little bag of Haribo, and you see them waving out, and we made those contacts, and we're going to endeavour to hold on to them. Upwards of 70 new contacts, and we just trust that the Lord will work in the hearts of these children, see them saved. You see, He hasn't forgotten about us. He has caused us to open our eyes and look left, right and centre and realise there's so much to do. Do continue to pray for us. We covet your prayers. Do, if you can, share those links with people. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. It's easier than even giving out a tract. And we trust that the work will go on from strength to strength. And we'll see little ones saved. And so just in the closing moments, I want just to show you this little PowerPoint. And then we'll just hand straight back over to your ministry. And thank you so much for listening. We've brought some little prayer cards. And we've brought some little updates, little letters. And I trust that you'll take them. I think there's maybe 10 or so. So if you're not out quick enough, you're not going to get one. So you better be fast. Okay. Thank you very much.
Let me, on your behalf, just thank our brother for coming this evening. And certainly it's thrilled my heart and thrilled my soul. And I'm sure it's the same for yourselves as we have listened how the Lord has blessed them and indeed used them this evening. For those that are tuning in online, this is where the broadcast comes to an end for you. We're going to spend some time in prayer. And we want to thank you for joining with us this evening. But can we just...